join in with Jack this morning and welcoming all that are here, some that we have known for quite some time, worshiped with, some that has even served this congregation, one as a deacon. Good to have each and every one of you with us. Those that are visiting, again, so good to have you here. We hope that you will not make yourselves scarce here, but you'll meet with us when you have an opportunity. Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 7 and 8, reads, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked." Just stopping right there with the point that's being made by Paul at this particular passage, this juncture in Scripture, is that God demands obedience. God expects obedience. Not from the standpoint that He has done nothing, but that He has given all. He's given His Son, He's given us direction, He's given His Word to us so that we would understand how He would be followed. And God is not mocked whenever it comes to His will. It's interesting to note whenever you think back to each dispensation of mankind before God, that each one began with a death. You go back to the Garden of Eden, and we see in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, whenever Adam and Eve fell from God's fellowship, from His favor, that which He had promised came upon them, and one day they died. "Thou shalt not eat of the tree that stands in the midst of the garden, for the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." They didn't drop dead immediately by eating of that fruit, but they did die. That dispensation started with the death. Go to Leviticus, the 10th chapter, verses 1 and following, with Nadab and Abihu, were the sons of Aaron, priests doing service before God, and they offered unauthorized fire, which God had delineated for them, that which was authorized. When we look back in Exodus, the 30th chapter, verse 8 and 9, and God put them to death at the beginning of the Mosaic covenant, the Mosaic dispensation. You go back to Acts, the 5th chapter, shortly after Pentecost. You have two, a man and a wife named Ananias and Sapphira, that lied to God, lied to the Holy Spirit about what they had done with the proceeds of a sale and tried to bring glory to themselves rather than bringing glory to God, and God punished them even unto death at the beginning of that dispensation also. God is not mocked. We think back, we understand then what Paul is saying here. God is not mocked. "For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." We understand that. There's aspects to look at in connection with this that we all recognize, of course. And we think about it, first of all, the reaping will happen. It will take place. And we go back to Romans, the 14th chapter, the last part of verse 10, and then reading down through verse 12. "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to God. And so then each of us shall give an account of himself to God." A day is coming when that will take place. There's no escape. And there is none that can say, "Well, I'll opt out of this. I'll not be involved in this. I'll let others take my place in this. I just won't be involved." No, we will all. We shall all give an account, that reckoning that we receive in connection with the way that we have conducted our life. We see again in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." There's going to be that reckoning depending upon how we conducted our life here upon this earth. Bottom line, we see in Luke 16, 23 through 26, whenever we have the account that is given to us by Christ of the rich man and Lazarus, who both perished from this earth. One found himself, of course, in Abraham's bosom, being carried there by the angels. The other one lifted up his eyes, being in torment. There is a judgment that takes place and a reckoning, a realizing of that judgment, not just on one day out in the future when God chooses, but an immediate reckoning of judgment when we pass from this life. And that is the reason that the Hebrew writer says in the 9th chapter, verse 27, "As it is appointed all men to die once, but after this the judgment." And we see then that we understand there's going to be that reckoning. And we think about it, the people that we have possibly dealt with, people we've tried to teach, those that have rejected God They're in the hands of a just God. God will make the determination. But we think about how sad it is. Those that at one time were Christians, but turned away from the truth. That knew the truth. And it's not just about today. It took place. We go back and we look at the life of Judas. In Matthew, the 10th chapter. Judas and the other 11 apostles at that time, while Christ was still alive here upon this earth, received power through the Holy Spirit to teach God's word and to do the works of God among people. That is the Jews. At that time, we usually call it the limited commission. He sent them out, and Judas did that. He was involved in that. He was with the Savior. He saw the miracles that Jesus had done. He had heard the words. And could have rightly said, just as the soldiers said when they returned from not arresting him, as they had been given instruction to do, never man spake like this. And he witnessed all of that, and yet he fell from God's grace. He loved the wages of sin more than the pleasures of God. And we think back, and we can probably go in our minds to people that we have seen that have just made a destruction in their life. And now they're in the hands of a just God. What God will do with them, He is the judge. We may not have hope, but we are not the judge. He is. But again, God is not mocked. And we think about the sadness and all those that will be unbelievers that will stand before God at the end of time. And their tongues will be loose and they will confess Christ Jesus, but it will be too late. Their knee will bow to show humility before the Lord and Savior of all, but it will be too late because they spent the time in desires of the flesh rather than in the glorification of God and giving honor to Him. It's sad. But that's not all that is said about sowing and reaping. You see, there's that aspect there of not only the reaping, that is the reward that we receive dependent upon how we conduct our life, but there is also that sowing. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And we go back and we think about this from 1 Timothy 5, verse 24. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them into judgment. And it is evident to many, where they look at the way that certain people or people are conducting themselves, they can see the sowing to the flesh that is taking place in their lives. Again, we automatically think about the end of time as far as the reaping is concerned, but I will tell you there is such tragedy in the sowing while we are here upon this earth if we're not following God's will. And it's not done in a vacuum. We're going to be seeing that as we go through this lesson. How wonderful it would be, in one sense, if someone decided not to follow God, that they were the only one that was affected. No one else was affected, but I will tell you that that is not the case. And the reason being is that whether you believe it or not, you have influence on someone else in your life. Someone else that works with you, someone else that knows you, someone else that calls you a friend, maybe it's family and so forth. You have an influence on them. And how you sow in this life can really be a tragedy. Or it can be a great blessing. Let's think about this, first of all, from the standpoint of wisdom rejected. The sowing when living a life without wisdom. And I'm talking about the wisdom that comes from God. When we look over in Proverbs 1, 25 through 31, because you disdained all my counsel, and this is wisdom personified that is speaking. Wisdom is saying, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I will laugh at your calamity, I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distresses and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise, say, my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way, that's the reaping, and be filled to the full of their own fancies. Wisdom speaks forth in this. Some men's sins are clearly evident, while they're living here upon this life. I know the rest of the verse says some men go on where it's not recognized until later. And that would be before God. But here we look at the sowing while we live our life here upon this earth. That first of all, the sowing and where sorrow is in sowing, wherever it is a rejection, first of all, of wisdom that is given by God. And how sad that is. James, the first chapter in verse 5, James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men freely. Have you ever been given a blank check by anybody? Just fill out the amount you want. It doesn't matter. I'm just giving you the blank check. Here, let me endorse it. I endorse it. There it is. It's all set, ready to go. You take it, and you can write any amount that you want, and you can have anything that you want. In a sense, God is giving us a blank check in connection with His wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, here's the hard process that you have to go through. It is just so demanding. It's very hard to do. Let Him ask. Pray to God for wisdom. There's the blank check right there. And yet we look back and we see where the sorrow in sowing is with those that reject wisdom. They disdain the counsel of wisdom. And that, of course, the wisdom from God would not have any rebuke. We think about that from Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 5 and following. What son is not corrected by the parents? For he whom God loves, He rebukes. And if you are without rebuke or chastisement, then you are illegitimate. But God loves you and rebukes you. I paraphrase the last part of that there in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 12th chapter, verse 5 and following. But that's what the writer is saying there. You would have none of my rebuke. Then he says, when your terrors come like a storm, and I will tell you, those that conduct themselves without the wisdom that comes from God have storms that they're going to face. And I'm sure we can think of people right now that rejected wisdom, that rejected prudence, that rejected understanding, and we see the mess that they made in their life because of that. I'm sure we can all think of people like that. And then he goes on and says, you will one day want to call upon me, but I will not answer. Verse 28. Because you see, it's too late. You really didn't seek me. They will seek me diligently, will not find me, because they hated knowledge. I want my own way. I know what's best in my life. And we see people that conduct themselves that way. You see, wisdom rejected leaves a trail of tragedy. And as I mentioned a while ago, it's not just with them. Oh, really, there would be a great blessing if that was the case. But others are caught up in the trail of tragedy whenever people conduct themselves without wisdom, because they influence other people. We also see that sowing is where the sorrow is, and it causes broken spirits. I'm not talking about the contrite, broken and contrite heart that the psalmist speaks of. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about what Jesus said, that whoever falls upon this rock will be broken, speaking of Himself, where the will then goes over to Christ Jesus. But rather, it's more like the last part of that aspect that's spoken there in Matthew, the 18th chapter, where Jesus says, but whoever the stone falls upon, he will be crushed to powder. Wisdom rejected leaves that trail of tragedy and broken spirits. We see that when we look over in Proverbs 24, 30 through 34. I went to by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was. All overgrown with thorns, its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. I know he puts this in the category of agriculture. People were involved in many thousands of years ago, and at the beginning of this country also. And there's not much of the agronomics that are taking place today. Very few are engaged in that. Many of them, of course, that are engaged. It's huge companies, but there are still those that make their living by the land and so forth. But still, there's an application here. And that application is about one whose spirit is broken, the lazy man. And the reason being is he rejected that wisdom and left that trail of tragedy. And you look at the trail that is mentioned, the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. It was all overgrown with thorns, not cared for. There's not going to be any product from this. And so it is with the life of those that live and just throw their hands up. Those whose spirits are broken to do the will of God and to take care of responsibilities. He says, its surface was covered with nettles, its stone wall was broken down. Where is the protection? And in connection with that, when we think about it from the wisdom of God, there is, without the wisdom of God, there is no protection. There's none. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. And those with that broken spirit say, I just need a little more rest, a little sleep, a little slumber. I don't need to do anything. I just need my rest. I look at myself. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man, because of a broken spirit that is based upon a lack of wisdom. We also see broken homes are in this trail of tragedy also. 1 Corinthians 7, chapter, verse 10 through 16. Paul says there, now to them married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. And because of a lack of wisdom, there are those that live in a living hell, so to speak. Because their minds are not set upon the same thing that is the wisdom of God. Their goal is not the same. He has his wants and desires. She has her wants and desires. It may be also that one of them is a Christian and trying to do the best that they can do. Verse 13, and a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean. But now they are holy. He's not talking about forgiveness of sin there. He's talking about an authorized relationship. The children then are not illegitimate because they are in that married state. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage. In such cases, God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? I know that we have all looked at this situation that has taken place over and over again among brethren. A man and a woman. Married, children. For some reason, one of them or both of them have not become like-minded toward God. Maybe it's just one of them. They want their own wants and desires. And because of that, we see separations that take place that ultimately leads so many times to adultery, fornication. We also see it leading to a divorce at some point in time. And now you have one of them that has freed themselves from that bondage that they are under, that bondage of marriage. And I will tell you, that's the way that the world looks at marriage, a bondage, rather than a unity. And it's presented as a blessed unity by Paul in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and places it in the likeness of Christ and the church. That just as Christ gave himself, Let the husband give himself for the wife. And let the wife follow then and be submissive to a man that deserves. A man that deserves because of his action. That submission. And you see children then that are left in that. Well, the man has done his part. He gave the woman children. And now he's done his part. Now nothing left for him to do. Even though Paul says in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, to the fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Their responsibility they have kicked to the side. And maybe they have come from broken homes themselves, and now they have promulgated and passed on that particular aspect to his generation, and now that those children that are in that relationship now that does not have a father or does not have a mother are doomed to repeat the tragedy of a broken home and possibly continue that on likewise in their own time. I will tell you that is a tragedy that is seen. It's not just with one person. It's not just the freedom from this bondage of marriage, but it affects others. And what a shame that is, because wisdom is not used in directing their lives to understand their, first of all, accountability to God, and second of all, their responsibility that they've entered into in the marriage relationship. We also see over in Proverbs 13, verse 24, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves himself disciplines him promptly. 29th chapter and verse 15, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Chapter 23, verses 13 and 14, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Let's dispense with the argument talking about corporal punishment in families. Forget that. It's talking about discipline. Now, we can all have our own thoughts on how that is administered, and there are people that do that differently. And even in the differences, there are those that are very effective in correction of children and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So let's dispense with that. Let's think about what is here. Part of the aspect of the broken homes comes about not just a physical separation that takes place, but again, that like-mindedness that is not there by those that are supposed to be Christians. Like-mindedness by those that are Christians in connection with not only service to God, obedience to Him, but also in raising children. And there are those that will not lift a finger. There are those that will never use the word that is so needed by parents today. The word no. No, you cannot do that. No, you cannot go with your friends. No, you can't have those friends. No, you can't act the way that you want. And we have been taught in this society, you need to befriend your children. And the scriptures deny that. They don't need a friend from their parent. They need one that directs them and loves them through chastening. And again, that is really an aspect of a lack of love and really a broken home, to where then you take a child that does not have the knowledge and understanding that is young, then it begins to make all the calls. And if the parents become submissive to the child, that cannot be. That is a result of a broken home, broken spiritually. But we also see broken trust. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them in justice. Wisdom rejected leaves a trail of tragedy. That's broken trust. We go back to Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 57 through 62. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. This is while Jesus was still alive here upon this earth. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You see, in becoming a child of God, a trust has been set. You have said, I trust in God for the salvation of my soul. I trust in God for the direction in my life. I trust in God, and therefore I give allegiance to Him. And that trust comes back from God, where God says, I know you. And I have entered you into my book of life. And those that end up without conducting themselves in wisdom end up with that broken trust. where their allegiance is no longer with Christ, but is, what about me? And I tell you, that goes and it spreads so much even further. Have you ever heard someone say about a congregation, I'm just looking for a congregation that fits me, suits me, and find out what they can do for me? Rather than, what can I do for the Lord? And that's where the difference is. That's where wisdom is. How can I be a benefit? Not what can be done for me, but how can I be a benefit? How can I edify? How can I support? How can I be pleasing? How can I be involved in the fellowship? That broken trust that is there, I will tell you, it comes from that lack of wisdom. 2 Peter 2, verses 9 through 20, 19 through 22. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome, by him he is also brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and become knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But as it has happened according to them, to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. And I'm sure that we can think of people that have entered right back into this defilement and disgust of sin that they once had been released from by Christ Jesus, but because of the desires of the flesh, they enter right back into it because they broke a trust with Christ. And someone says, well, that's God's not going to break the trust with them. Go back to where we started, Galatians 6 and verse. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. And there is always that downward spiral that takes place when that trust is broken. Galatians 4, 8 and 9. But then, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those who were by nature not gods, but now that you've known God, or are rather known by God, or our society loves to say, I know the Lord. The real question to ponder is, does the Lord know you? Rather, are you known of God? How is it that you turn to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? It's from a lack of trust that causes that. Let's not leave this trail of sorrows. Know for sure there's going to be judgment at the end of time. That will happen. You will not be excused from that. You can't say, I pass. You'll be involved in it, as all will, each and every one of us. But I will tell you, so much of the sorrow is the trail of sorrows that are left by what is being sown here upon this earth before that judgment ever takes place. Let's not leave that trail of sorrow. Galatians 4, 8, and 9, once again, how can we return to that beggarly, to those beggarly elements? Those that walk without wisdom, that reject it, end up with broken spirits, broken homes, broken trust. They so often don't realize that they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Very interesting, wherever you look at that word, whirlwind. We might think of a dust devil, as some people call them. I think more toward the West Coast they call them that. That's not the word here. It's a hurricane, tornado, extreme. Because they don't realize by their actions what it is that they are producing. The stalk has no bud. It shall never produce meal. If it should produce, aliens will swallow it up. We see that in lives all the time. A good parent left without the other parent because one is selfish, one will not take accountability for their own action, and now they leave children that they have fathered or have born into the care of a stranger. How will they be raised? How will they be raised? Proverbs 11, 17 through 20. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursuits, it goes unto death. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are His delight. I ask this morning, as we consider these things and think about them, are we involved in the tragedy while we're living here upon this earth of what it is that we are sowing in the way that we conduct ourselves? Or, as we just got through reading, are we conducting ourselves by the righteousness that has been shown to us by God so that we are a blessing not only to ourselves but also to all those round about us, our family, our friends, those that we come in contact with? We need to be blessing. We need to be a blessing. Maybe those here this morning that are not children of God, understand where we started from in Galatians 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. But Lord, I'm going to worship You in the way that I want to worship You. God is not mocked. God demands obedience. He demands it because He wants to save you. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, deathward, not willing that any should perish. But it has to be by His terms because He is God. God is not mocked. If this morning you have an understanding of that which is lacking in your life, here's the wisdom that comes from God. Look to His Word, Romans 10 and verse 17. Hear what it has to say concerning your condition. Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 3, without hope in this world. Understand from His Word that there is, though, mercy that will come upon those that are obedient to Him, verses 4 down through verse 9 of Ephesians 2. Have that attitude of mind of, it's not my will that matters, it's God. Lord, you did what I needed. You were the only one that could. You gave Your only Son. I will name His name. I will have that attitude of, not my will but Thine be done. And I will be obedient even to baptism for the remission of my sins. I recognize it is not a ceremony, Lord. I recognize that it is to wash away my sins. Acts 22 and verse 16. Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Will you start that conduct of life? Will you start that sowing? So that what you are doing is setting forth not only the hope that you have in heaven, but also those around about you say, that person cares about God. Will you do that? Those of us here today that are Christians, how are we sowing in this life? Is it with stress and turmoil? Is it with anger? Is it with dispute? Is it with a lack of like-mindedness among our brethren? What about in our families? What are we sowing? Is there happiness? Is that marriage that we talked about a great blessing? Or is it a continual stress and sorrow? That can be corrected. Because God said, when He wrote the blank check, just ask. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Maybe you desire the prayers of the saints here. I will tell you that there are those that are here that will pray with you and for you for what it is that you lack. And that comfort and help will be given through God's instruction, the wisdom that comes to us from His Word. If there are those we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.